Good morning, and God bless you all. Welcome to this time of worship. It's good to gather in again, the house of God, and be reminded. I thank you, Brother Dan, for sharing that passage with us, laid a good foundation for continual looking into the Word of God. Good service. Opportunities that we have in the world about us. I'd like to consider one specific area this morning. I'd like if you could turn to Psalms chapter 41. I'd like to read three verses from this passage for a springboard of what I'd like to share this morning. Psalms chapter 41, I like to read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. This morning I'd like to consider the poor. And as we think of service this morning, probably in a summary, it would be giving or generosity in giving. But as we think of that, I think it is good that we understand and do what the Bible says here about considering the poor. A few weeks ago, I was talking with an individual, and upon our greetings, well, I should first of all say, different times in life, I don't know how you find it, but we tend to put ourselves into a poor category. We like to play that poor game. I'll say it like that. And meeting this individual, I believe I was actually called him, I believe it was. And in our greeting, he pretended to be the poor man while immediately putting him into a wealthy... No, I was a wealthy man and he put himself into the poor category. That's how it was. And I didn't know how to respond. It took me off guard. And I didn't say anything for a little bit. I thought about it. And finally, I voiced this. I said, I guess we would need to determine who the poor people are. And then I added that I'm very blessed. And it only took that simple response to all of a sudden change his frame of reference. And he began telling me how blessed he was. And he enumerated various things that he was blessed with. This morning, the question that I'd like to consider is, who are the poor? I want you to think about that as we go through this message. Who are the poor people? And I think that will help us to understand the burden of what I'd like to share this morning. The goal of this message, I'd like to give you four pointers for this. Number one, to see the needs of the poor people. To see the needs of the poor. And this here is simply getting a compassion. It's as simple as when you see your little baby crying and your heart just goes out to him because, or out to her, because you see, there's a need. To see the needs of the poor. To gain compassion. The first step is to gain compassion for them. Secondly, to see God's value on the poor people. And I believe as we see what God wants and how God feels about these people, I believe it will help us to understand how we should treat them. Makes a big difference when we see it in God's perspective. And thirdly, to challenge us in our generosity or inspire us to give. And fourthly, thankfulness for blessings. You know, we live in a wonderful land this morning, and we're going to see some of that throughout this message. We have a lot to be grateful for. We have many, many blessings, many grateful provisions that God has blessed us with, and I don't want us to forget that. Considering the poor, this morning I'd like to begin, first of all, now by defining the poor. I have three different definitions I like to give to you to help us understand who the poor are. Number one, people without possessions. Very simple. Maybe no house, maybe no car, very little things. Secondly, having little money. And thirdly, of insufficient quantity to meet a need. In other words, when you don't have enough to go around. And as we consider these various definitions, I would like for us to understand this morning that I am specifically referring to people who do not have enough. Who do not have enough to reach around. And I'd like to give more clarification on this. I'd like to mention three groups of people. First of all, we have a group of people that have very little money or possessions because they refuse to lift a finger. These people have opportunities, but they are not wise in taking personal responsibility to provide for their needs. And the Bible gives them as these kind of people. Proverbs 10 and verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." See the difference? Or see why the man is poor? Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." So we see this group of people here that I'm referring to right now has opportunity, they have little money, have little possessions, but they're not wise in using their opportunities. There's a second group of people. It's a group of people that make an income, but spend excess, putting them into a financial bind. So the first group didn't work, therefore they didn't have anything. The second group worked, they made something, but they were still poor because they weren't very wise. And so we see that these people have opportunities as well. And sometimes these people make quite a bit of money. They have quite a bit of things, but because God isn't ruling in their heart, then they follow drunkenness or drugs or materialism or anything that eats their money faster than it can come in, faster than what they need it. The Bible also talks about this group of people. Proverbs 28, verse 22 says, "He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that the poverty shall come upon him." Also, Proverbs 13 and verse 23 says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." Or Proverbs 21 and verse 17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Now, I'd like to talk about a third group of people. There is another group of people who work very hard to meet the needs of their families or of themselves, but because of adverse circumstances, they are hardly able to gain enough wealth to provide for themselves properly. And I would like to notice this morning that these people are not given the opportunity to become wealthy. And poverty is not the biggest reason for someone to stay poor. but rather it's the lack of opportunity. And this is primarily the group of people that I want to consider this morning. People who have very little money, very little possessions, and also very little opportunity. I read a quote in the past that revealed the mentality of America. And I don't like this quote, but it shows very much where America is at. As we think of wealth, or the mentality of selfishness, you can have everything you want if you will just help enough people to get what they want. Does that make any sense to you? Very, very selfishly. In other words, America is so filled with opportunities that we don't even think that there's a possibility that we can't get what we want. But it's not that way in America. It's not that way all across the world. And so this morning in America, we live in a land of opportunity. And even if we start at the bottom, if we do proper planning and diligence, oftentimes we can rise up and become rich, as it were. And so this morning, we know very little about property, but I want us to remind us this morning that not all people have this opportunity. I want that to become clear. I like to ask the question, what is poverty? I like to read this to you. The most widely held and understood definition of extreme poverty, established by World Bank, defines poverty in strictly economic terms, earning less than $1.90 a day. Are you poor this morning? I want to give you the concept of the poor people that I'm talking about. Earning less than $1.90 a day. I'd like to give you three statistics, online statistics. Number one, total number of children that die every day because of poverty, 22,000. Number two, total number of children that die annually from lack of access to safe drinking water and adequate sanitation, 1.4 million. Number three, total number of people who do not have enough to eat, 945 million. I'm just giving you an idea of what I'm referring to when I'm thinking of the poor people. Well, for the rest of the sermon, I like to do a Bible study. I'm going to be turning to numerous verses. I've tried to set them up so that you can more easily follow. Well, we're just going to look at a lot of verses now with some simple questions that I like to consider. First question I'd like to consider is, what does the Bible say about the existence of poor people? I'd like if you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. What does the Bible say about the existence of poor people? I'm going to come back to this passage later on and read a few more verses, but I just want to pull out 11a. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. I'd like if you could turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 7 and 8. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them." I'd like now if you could turn back to Mark chapter 14. There's a verse I like to read from that chapter. What does the Bible say about the existence of poor people? Very similar to our first passage, but in the New Testament, we find these words. Matthew 14 and verse 7, we have Jesus' words. "For ye have the poor with you always." I'd like to stop there. What does the Bible say about the existence of poor people? I think it is very self-explanatory that the poor people will be with us. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'd like to answer the question, what is God's attitude toward the poor people? I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 9. Some of my verses will be closer together now, make it easier for you to find them if you're following along. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 18. What is God's attitude toward the poor? "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." And we see that God will remember the poor. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, verse 15 through, I'm sorry, verse 12 through 15. Psalm 72, verse 12 through 15. "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight." I think I'll stop right there. Psalms 113. I like to turn to chapter Psalms 113. What is God's attitude about the poor? We just read that God will protect them. God has an interest in the lives of the poor people. Psalms chapter 113, verses 7 and 8. "He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people." And so, again, I just want to say God's attitude to the poor here is very compassionate. He will remember them. God loves them. Now I'd like to move on to another question. What does the Old Testament teach us in relating to the poor more directly? I like to turn to Exodus chapter 22. God gave direction to his people many years ago in relating to the poor people. And we were looking at some of that, but I'd like to get a little more specific in how they were to help them. Exodus 22. And I like to read verse 25 through 27. "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun, by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. Here they were not to charge interest to their poor brother. Turn back a page, Exodus 23. I like to read verse 6. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Verses 10 and 11. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and thou shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. I like to stop there. Here we see that they were to, for the seventh year, they were to let the land be barren, or they were to let it rest so that the people could come in and find food to eat. Now let's turn back to Leviticus, a few pages back. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 9. Leviticus 19, verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And we see here that they were to leave some food in the land for the poor people to eat. Moving on now to Deuteronomy. I want to go back to that passage again. Deuteronomy 15. I like to read just a few more verses from that passage. I like to read verses 7 and 8. If there be among you a poor man, one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates, in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Very clear, isn't it? God's direction thousands of years ago to his people about relating to those who do not have money, much possessions, or maybe lack of opportunity as well. Well, I like to look at some blessings in relating rightly to the poor. You can turn to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to have quite a few verses from this book. Blessings in relating rightly to the poor. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 21b. Especially, I'll read the whole verse. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. See that note of happiness? Proverbs 17, a few pages back. Proverbs 17 and verse 5. I'm sorry, it's 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. I'll get that one later. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So if you give to the poor, you're doing it as unto God. A few pages back, Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Again, the blessings in relating rightly to the poor. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Well, that was the blessings in relating to the poor. Now let's look at the condemnation in relating wrongly to the poor people. Turning back, Proverbs 14 and verse 31. Proverbs 14, verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him has mercy on the poor. So we see oppression to the poor doesn't have God's blessing. Proverbs 17 and verse 5, a similar verse, but relating to mockery. Proverbs 17 and verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Condemnation. Proverbs 21. Back a few pages. Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard. He shall not be heard. What a sad place to be. And moving back further to Proverbs 28 and verse 27. Proverbs 28 and verse 27. Condemnation and relating wrongly to the poor. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. I think it's very self-explanatory again. All right, moving now into the New Testament. What is our responsibility to the poor people from a New Testament perspective? Acts verse 20 says, and verse 35 says, giving without return. Well, it doesn't say that. It says, blessed. Well, let me just look at that. I don't actually have that written down. Acts verse 20, 35. It's just a short verse, but I'm struggling getting it together right now. Acts 20 and verse 35. Paul writing the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we see that giving has a blessing, even more so than receiving. Now, turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is our New Testament responsibility to the poor? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So if we want to give to the poor people, then we need to do it with charity. Now, moving back, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like to read a few verses from this passage in relating to giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'd like to read verses 6 through 9. And I want you to get the heart cry of this. As you think of the people that are in need, you know, there's people that are suffering, and my heart especially goes out to the children, the victims, innocent victims. And of course, our heart goes out to children who can do nothing about it. But I'd like for you to get the heart cry of this. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Remaineth forever. Give cheerfully and bountifully. I'd like to just conclude with a few spiritual lessons. Proverbs 13 and verse 7 says, there is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet has great riches. And we heard about that in our first devotional, didn't we? Well, finally, The man died. He had great earthly riches, but he didn't have anything worth talking about. He was rich, but he had nothing. This morning, we don't have to have very many earthly goods to be spiritually rich. Great riches is found in spiritual blessings. Ephesians talks about Ephesians talks about the spiritual blessings that we can have, and that is what makes us rich, spiritual blessings. Secondly, Matthew 5 and verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Again, spiritual blessing, an emphasis on spiritual blessing rather than earthly blessings. And if you're still in 1 Corinthians, I'd like to just back up to chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." What a blessing we have this morning. Jesus Christ, although he had the kingdom and the glories and the power of heaven, was able to come down, suffer for us, be made poor, so that we can be made rich through salvation. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to turn to James chapter 2 and verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him?" The spiritual lessons. Again, if you're here this morning and you don't have many earthly goods, that's not the greatest loss. To have spiritual blessings. To be rich in faith, to be rich in Christ, to be poor in spirit, that's a blessing that we can have. Galatians 6:10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." May God bless us, and may God bless you as you continue to find opportunities of service, to give, and find the blessing that God has pronounced on those who bless those in need. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.